Praise to the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, if you'll look there with me. Gospel of Matthew chapter 9. And I'm going to read starting with verse number 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. May us back up to verse 35 and read that one too. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. Let me ask you a question to start here tonight, and that is, do you have people blindness? Do you have people blindness? I just wonder, there was a gentleman that came into our service Sunday night that sat right back there on that back row. He stood up and quoted a scripture as a testimony, sat back down. He came in after the service started. He left, I'm not sure exactly at what point in the service, by the end of the service that he left. Did anyone shake his hand? Speak to him. Did anybody notice that he was here? Do what? Well, I just brought that up because now I didn't catch him before he left myself either. And so we have on a regular basis here at our church, probably almost every service, not every service, but just about, we'll have one or two, sometimes four or five, and sometimes several people who walk in, sit here in the service with us, walk back out, and then we never see them again. They come and they go. And I think that that one of the problems that I have, I'll speak for myself, and then you can just conclude for your own self. I think that many times we have spiritually some of us have with our own physical eyes. What do they call it? Myopia. You can see very clearly up close, or at least when I was 12, 13 years old, a seventh grader, I can't see far or close now without my glasses. But when I first got glasses, I was nearsighted. I had myopia. I could see up close, but the distance was blurred. And I first noticed it. I was in a junior high choir class, and the choir director had put up, I guess, either on a blackboard or maybe projected it up on a screen. I can't really remember, but they're putting the words and the music of the songs that we were singing up. And I can remember as a seventh grader sitting there saying, I can't see that. And I was straining and, you know, squinting and trying to see it, and I couldn't see it. And I went home and told my mom. I said, I can't see the board. I can't see to follow along in the classes. And that, of course, started my career as an eyeglass wearer from the time I was about 13 years old. Later on, I began to have problems when I turned, right at the very time that I turned 40 is when I started having, or was it 50? 40. I started having troubles with seeing up close, and I had to have bifocals. And but I asked you the question: Do you have people blindness? Do you see people that need the Lord? Do you see like Jesus sees people? And in this situation, this text that I read to you, it says that Jesus saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion on them. He saw them. Now, him, of course, he's the Son of God, so he sees and he knows all things. But he looked on that multitude of people, and this wasn't the only time. There are other places in the Gospels where Jesus looked on situations and he was moved by it. He looked even on the city of Jerusalem, and he had compassion and even prayed for those who were just in a few days going to be the very ones that were going to condemn him, try him, crucify him. He prayed over Jerusalem. He saw people's needs. He didn't just see what was up close. And if you have, I guess what I'm referring to when I say people blindness, is that we just kind of see our own little things. And we don't really see people in their need. And it should never be that we could have someone come into our service like the gentleman did Sunday night and him be able to walk away from our service and us not even know his first name, not know anything about him. Now, some of you may have known who he was. But I said all that to say we need to have a vision for people in their need. We need to see people just like Jesus did. The Bible says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, or he literally felt their need. He felt what they were going through. He had such compassion upon them that he felt their need and recognized their need. And you know, that's really a part of his high priestly ministry, that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Yours, mine, and even the stranger that might come in. I've always believed very strongly that whenever someone walks in randomly into our church services, that we need to pay heed to that, because God no doubt has arranged it and has sent them through the doors and into the service for some particular reason, and we don't want to miss out on the reason and the purpose of God and that person coming in to the service. And when Sister Chase called me this morning about Brother Chase's son, she said, "I have to also tell you what's happening. I told you that they had eight people in their church for all of the 7 years that she's been there." She said, "It's been so discouraging for 7 or 8 years, however long it's been." And she said, "It's been about 7 or 8 people as all we have. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday." And she said, "We were just so discouraged. But at the beginning of this year, God has begun to move. There's a new pastor that has come. And God has started working." She said, "We have had 27 visitors since January the 1st in our little church. 27 visitors. Those kind of things don't just happen. That's a move of God. That's God bringing people in and dealing with people. So we don't need to have myopia, nearsightedness, spiritually speaking, but we need to be able to see people just like Jesus did and see people in their need and ask the Lord, "Lord, use me to minister to that person, to encourage that person, to bless that person whenever they walk in to the service." Jesus saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion. He felt their need. He was touched with the feeling of their infirmities. It says, because they fainted and were scattered. The word there, fainted, it means that they were weary and at the point of giving up. There's a lot of people that are in that kind of a frame of mind these days. They don't see any hope for their life or their situation. They think that it's hopeless. And let me tell you, I think we all know that without the Lord, without Christ, it is a hopeless world that we're living in. And people come in and they were fainting. They were weary. They were just at the point of just giving up. The word there, the Greek word, means just to lay back, like to lay down, like I just give up. I've lost heart. Jesus had compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They fainted and they were neglected. They had no one to help them. No one. Sheep obviously are, they're just helpless. They have to have someone to point them in the way of to the water, to show them where to graze, to protect them and to take care of them. And the phrase here just literally means that they were weary and worn out at the point of giving up, and that they were also in such despair that they were neglected because no one was interested in them. No one cared about their needs. That speaks to a big majority of people in our world today who live their lives every day, day in and day out, and hardly anybody cares about them, is concerned about them, and certainly very few are concerned about their spiritual lives. And so, Lord, help us to see like Jesus saw. Help us to see people just like he did. The statistics are that just about anywhere in this country, Barna Research Group, that just about anywhere you go in this country, any community, any city, that there's going to be at least half of the people that you come in contact with. So that means in Walmart or in Kroger or in any place of business or wherever you are out in the community, when you meet people and see people, half of those people are not serving the Lord. Half of those people don't know God. They don't know what it is to serve the Lord. They're not ready to meet the Lord, and their life has no sense of reason or purpose. And it will not until someone steps into their life and gives them the gospel. Amen. Gives them hope, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be able to see. And so I think a very appropriate prayer for all of us is, Lord, open my eyes so that I am not just only concerned in praying about my needs, my problems, my worries, my family, what I'm up against. But Lord, help me to see. Give me some spiritual eyesight so that I can see the people, the multitudes around us, and see that there are people out there that are in such need. When Jesus saw them, he was moved with compassion. He saw them that they were at the point of despair, that they were giving up, and he saw that no one cared about them. They were neglected, and no one was really concerned about them. Now, there are people right out there within your reach. You work with them. You come in contact with them. Your daily activities, your business, and they've put on this big front. Everything's okay. And the only time you get any indication that that's not the truth is when a crisis comes into their life and they have nowhere to turn. No one to turn to. And that's when our eyes need to be open and see. This is our opportunity to give them hope and give them hope through Jesus Christ. Now, if we don't have this kind of a vision, I know we can make application of that verse of Scripture in Proverbs in a lot of different ways, but it fits in this subject here tonight as well. Without a vision, people perish. If we don't have spiritual sight, if we don't see people in the predicament of their life, and let me tell you, the way of a transgressor is hard. The sinful life is a hard life. And people who go on in their life without God, oh, it's a hopeless situation. But we need to understand that we have some great promises in the Word of God. That if we're just willing to help someone, to minister to someone, to try to spread the gospel, we need to believe in these wonderful principles of the harvest. Now, I'm looking at some verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and also in Galatians chapter 6. And Galatians 9 and 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Amen. There's all kinds of problems in the economy today because of investments. People's investments, they've invested in things that are not secure, that are not sound, and sometimes they've invested in things that they thought was sound, and it turned out to not be. And so their investments as far as material things, so unstable in the world that we live in right now. But I think the Lord can help us to see that there's some things we can invest in that it's guaranteed by God's word that we will see a return. Amen. Guaranteed that we'll see a return. That if we will sow into a spiritual harvest, if we'll invest, and every time that you have the opportunity, when someone is that you meet and that is in need in some way, that you are able to sow into that person's life. And I'm not just talking about giving someone a $5 bill. I'm talking about that you're willing to take time just to recognize that really what's going on with most people these days is that they're weary with their life, and no one really cares. No one is really all that interested. They're only interested in themselves. That is what motivates most of what's going on in our world today, is just selfishness. That's what's motivating this whole liquor debate, is that people are selfish and they would rather make a few dollars, even if it puts the lives of people at risk, even if it's going to bring destruction and devastation to the community. They don't really care, because there's just going to be a few select people that are going to make quite a bit of money by selling these products, and it's all motivated by greed and selfishness. And that's the spirit of this age. It's the spirit of people's lives today. But if we care about people, if we see people like Jesus sees them, then we will be willing to make an investment in them. A couple Sundays ago, I passed out in the Bible class, and it was passed out in some of the other classes, a prospect form. You say, "We've done this before. Why do we have to do it again?" A prospect form, if you've got to think about this, a prospect form is really, it's a people form. And it's a place on here for you, where every name is an eternal soul. Every person's name that you put on here, they have worth to God, and they should have worth to you and I. And so I just want to encourage you once again, if you've got it stuffed in your pocket or in your purse and you haven't done it yet, then we're trying to accumulate a list of people so that we can make a prayer list out of it, and a contact list so that we can get after some people that need the Lord in their life. Amen. So please do that. Follow up and make an investment. Make an investment in people, in souls. It's really the only thing that you can invest in that it has a guaranteed return. That if you'll invest in the kingdom of God, invest in the things that really count in God's kingdom, if you'll sow, you'll reap. And you will reap the very things that you sow. So if you pour out love, if you pour out compassion, if you pour out the gospel, you give them the testimony of what God has done in your life, then you have the guarantee that that seed is planted and there is going to be a return on that. Lives are going to be affected. You may not see it this week or next week or next month, but the word of God is the truth, and you can know with certainty that God's going to come through. He's going to fulfill his will if you'll be willing to invest your life in people. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Amen. Pour out. And make a spiritual investment in people. And it's worth it. It's worth it. And God will use what you do and words that you say and the effort that you put forth, and you will reap those things. Amen. But you're not going to reap unless you sow. You have to sow if you're going to reap. That's just the law of the harvest. There's just no way. It doesn't do any good to water the garden or hoe the garden. It doesn't do any good to take care of it, to fertilize it, and to nurture it if there hasn't already been a seed sown. But if the seed is sown and you nurture it and you pray over it and you just have the confidence that if you'll sow the seed, God will bring forth the fruit eventually in His own time. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now that ought to really encourage you, because if you sow one seed, you're not going to reap just one. But the scripture says, you always are going to reap more than you sow. But the dangerous part about that is if you're reaping or sowing to the flesh, then you're going to reap a lot of the things of the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, if you invest in people's lives, if you care about them and love them and serve them and pour into the lives of people, then you're going to reap spiritual things, and you're going to reap a whole lot more than you sow. Praise God. Be encouraged by that. Amen. That God wants us to see people like He sees them. He was moved with compassion. He was concerned about people in their need, that they had given up, and that no one cared about their circumstance. No one was interested. Now, you may have that kind of a person that lives on your block or in your building or wherever it is that's within your reach. That person that has given up and needs someone to show the love of God and pour into that person. Pour into them. We've got to move out of this whole thing of, it's all about my problem, it's all about my need, it's all about what I'm facing. The best way to get out of that kind of discouragement is to start investing in other people. Amen. 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 Take the focus off yourself. Take the focus off your own worries and your own problems, and begin to notice that are around you, there are a lot of people that are in need, and some of them got a lot bigger problems than you've ever. And that God wants us to care about them. I really believe that as a body, that when Sunday morning comes, that we ought to be, our spiritual eyes ought to be open. We ought to be looking. See those that walk in the door. See those that are in the service. And when you see that individual or that family come in and you don't know about their lives, you don't know about their needs, then begin to pray, Lord, let this service speak to their need. Let the Spirit of God do a work in that family's life or that individual's life, whoever that they might be. Lord, help us to love them and to care about them. And by the way, there's no such thing as overkill when it comes to welcoming people like that. Don't worry about that. If the whole congregation waits in line to shake with hands with someone and welcome them to the service, it's all right. There's no such thing as going too far when it comes to loving and investing and caring about people in their need. I would hope that no one would ever come, be in the service, and walk away and say, no one spoke to me, no one cared about me, no one shook my hand, no one recognized that I was even in the meeting. That no doubt was already prearranged providentially by God for them to be there in that service. Amen. Praise the Lord. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. There's always going to be that interval, that little span of time between times that you're investing and you are giving and you're pouring out and the time that you see the harvest. Amen. You don't plant your garden and go out the next day and pick beans. You just don't. There's a little time involved there. There's some work involved there and nurturing and caring and that. But if you'll be faithful, if you'll be patient, then you always have the assurance of the harvest. Always have the assurance that God is going to come through. We always reap in another season than we sow in, but we always have the confidence that if we'll be patient, God's going to come through. And He's going to help us. Amen. So there have been so many times that you may invest in someone, give to someone, help someone, pray for someone, and then you never see them again. But you can be certain that if you sowed a seed of the Spirit into that person's life, that somewhere the fruit is going to be realized. And God's going to use that for the glory of God. Amen. The Lord can open our eyes. Amen. May He open our eyes. May we see people all around us. You see, the difference between our services since January the 1st and Sister Chase's services is that we've probably had 27 or more visitors since January the 1st, but we don't know a lot of their names or some of their names. We don't have the contact. They've been here. They've walked in the doors, and there's been many a time that there's been, you know, numbers of people that came into the service, and they'll probably be here this Sunday. People that walk in. We have a responsibility to care for them. Amen. Why did they come? Well, probably because nobody really cares about them. Maybe they've come to the point of despair. They don't know what to do, where to turn. Their life is such a mess. And the Lord can use you. Amen. And He can use me. He can use us if we'll make ourselves available to be like Jesus, to see like Jesus, have that level of compassion that Jesus had. John 4 and 35, say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Jesus was telling His disciples, right now, don't wait. Right now, lift up your eyes and look and see that the harvest is ready right now to be harvested. And I can tell you with certainty, that is the truth right here in London, Kentucky, with a lot of people who do not know the Lord, a lot of people that need help. And the Lord gives to you and me the opportunity to minister to those in their need. Amen. May the Lord give us vision to see like Jesus sees. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have not only put us where we are, but even in the times, You've placed us here for this particular time and season. And Lord, I don't know what another day is going to bring forth, but I do know that if tomorrow, if I am willing to sacrifice and to care and invest in people, that Lord, I have this assurance that there will be a harvest. If I'll plant the seed of truth, seeds of the Spirit, if I plant, Lord, love and compassion and pour into the lives of people, Lord, that You will bring forth fruit from that investment. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Lord, make us a body, a group of people, Lord, that every day of our life, our eyes are wide open. Hallelujah. Our eyes are wide open, and we see those in their need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.